Hello, everyone, and welcome into another episode of March to Madness here on the Overtime Sports Network. I'm your host, Kyle Gagliardi, and I'm joined by my usual suspects. To my right, maybe your left. I don't know how you guys are viewing this if you're watching live. It's Zach Nickel. Nickel, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Vibes are kind of high right now. We've got a four-day weekend coming up, a lot of college basketball, so I can't complain.
Yeah, and you got your anarchy? Nope. Just college basketball t-shirt on.
College basketball.
Love it. And the man below us is Aaron Oros, repping the Indiana Hoosiers. Aaron, how are you doing?
Doing well. Can't complain. Hoosiers undefeated. So no complaints here.
Yeah, we don't get to say that very often, at least over the last couple of years, right? For sure. They really haven't been competitive, I would say, for the past 8 years or so. But here we are. We are 4-0, and that's probably what we're going to start off this episode with. But before we get into all that good stuff, you see the new T-shirt we got here. You can rep the March to Madness T-shirt yourself by going to my wrestling podcast website on themarkwrestlingpodcast.com. You can purchase yourself a T-shirt. It's got our Twitter handle on the back, so you follow us on Twitter at March2_Madness. And if you use promo code SURVIVOR this weekend, you will save 10% off your order. So I think that T-shirt comes out to about $22. Nickel's got a T-shirt. I got one. Aaron, I know yours had a stain on it. Did we figure out what was wrong with it? Was it able to come out?
It's still stained.
Okay.
I washed it, so.
So that obviously is on the production team, not us. Okay, so I'm going to have to see what's going on with the T-shirt. So hopefully if you do order a T-shirt, it is not stained, but. Guys, I say we just get right into it. In the past seasons that we've done March to Madness, we start off each episode talking about our beloved Indiana Hoosiers since we all are Indiana grads. So let's get into it. The Hoosiers are starting off their season with a 4-0 record and a marquee win on the road against Xavier just recently, earlier this past week. Their first top 40 KenPom non-conference road win since 2002. That is insane to think about, isn't it, guys?
Stupid.
Yeah, I mean, usually if you have a non-conference road game, it's like in the ACC Big Ten Challenge or something like that you don't usually get those games, or the Gavitt games like this one was. So, but the first time in 20 years, that's pretty amazing. Maybe that just shows how special this team might be.
Potentially. Aaron, we got to watch this game all together. We will dive into it. But overall, how are we feeling about the Indiana Hoosiers' start to this season?
I would say optimistic, just because, and obviously we'll talk about it, that Xavier game with just how it went, that's normally a game they lose. And they didn't. So obviously we'll dive into it here in a little bit. But I would say I'm feeling optimistic going forward. Obviously they're going to be tested here pretty soon.
Big time.
So I think that will give us a better barometer of where we're at. But right now I can't really complain. I mean, obviously there's some nitpicky things, but other than that, we're 4-0. So
I'm sure we can definitely nitpick it too, as we talk about some of the games that have happened, because we haven't recorded an episode here in a couple of weeks. Our schedule's kind of sporadic. We'll pop off probably every other week, or maybe if something big happens, we'll do a shows back-to-back weeks. But, Nickel, let's talk about the Hoosiers and specifically Trace Jackson Davis, who has probably been the biggest story so far, a preseason All-American that is definitely living up to expectations early here. He's averaging 20.8 points per game, 8.8 rebounds per game. Let's just talk about his performance so far, because he's definitely lived up to those expectations of being one of the best players in college basketball this year.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it, especially in the first couple games where, you know, they're playing those teams that are not really good. He was dominant. And then, you know, he come into that Xavier game on Friday and he left off. I mean, how many points did he have in like the first 5 minutes? It was a lot. I think it was like 12 within the first 5 minutes, and he just took over. You know, and that was against good competition too, and Jack Nungy and Zach Fremantle down low for Xavier. So, yeah, that's a big piece. I mean, obviously, he's been a big piece for Indiana the last 3 years. You know, for them to be one of those top teams this year and get a high seed in the tournament, he's going to have to keep it up. And so far, it's been good, and I hope he keeps it up, you know, against these next three huge non-conference games coming up and then into conference play. But, yeah, he's been amazing.
Yeah, Aaron, I guess you could probably say it's safe to say that he is one of the greatest Hoosiers of all time, and he's definitely solidified that here to start off this season, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he was going to have to be the bell cow on this team. He's got the experience. He's obviously got the talent. They are going to run through him, as they should. He should be touching the ball all the time. Offense needs to run through him. You saw, I mean, Jack Nungy just couldn't keep up with him. He's so quick that a lot of these centers just can't keep up with him, even though they're taller than he is. I mean, like I said, they'll go as far as he can take them. I mean, if he can continue to be productive like this throughout the entire season, they're going to be a problem. Because one of the things that you know about basketball is star power is huge. And all it takes is one guy sometimes to will you. I mean, how many times in the tournament have you seen one guy just completely take over?
It seems like UConn usually produces one guy every year.
Kemba, Shabazz, Napier.
Yeah.
You know, so if he can continue to keep rolling, he played a ton of minutes. I granted they didn't play like 8 games until that Xavier game, and he played 37.
Whole second half.
37 minutes, yep.
So I don't think he could sustain that. They're going to have to obviously be able to give him a blow every time, every now and again, but – he's been as advertised. Can't complain at all.
Yeah, and we could sit here and talk about every specific game, but it's kind of boring to talk about the non-conference wins over subpar teams. But a thing I do want to comment about those games against the Moorhead States, the Bethune-Cookmans, is sometimes in those matchups in the past years, IU would get to a lead at halftime, maybe 20 points or so, and these lesser teams would creep back into the game. But IU is going full force, putting the pedal to the metal and finishing these bad teams, which is another positive. But we can get to the Xavier game then, because that really was the first marquee matchup. Like I said, they won that game, obviously 81-79. They shot 51% from the field, with Trace and Xavier Johnson leading the way with 30 points and 23 points apiece. But other than those two, what really stood out for you? I'll go to you, Nickel, first for this Hoosiers win here on the road at Xavier.
I'm going to have to go Malik Renew. I mean, just how he's played so far, it's just been great to see from a freshman like that. You know, Xavier's a tough opponent. I was actually very curious to see how he would do going into an environment like that. But he lived up to it. Yeah, he fouled a lot in the first half. He got to 4 fouls, but he played a lot down the stretch. Like, he played over Race Thompson with 4 fouls, and that just shows how much trust Mike Woodson has in him. Because, you know, he played great. Like, he knows how to get the basket into the hoop. But, yeah, I mean, the three-point shooting is still kind of an issue. But, I mean, like you said, there's, like, nitpick. But I think that needs to get better. I mean, it's been said the last, like, 3 years. I mean, the three-point shooting just needs to get better. But they're scoring at will around the basket. So, but I think someone needs to step up besides XJ and Trace Jackson Davis, and maybe it's Renew. Maybe, you know, this is to the point where, you know, Renew maybe has to start. So, but I like Malik Renew so far. And hopefully, too, Jalen Hood-Savino, I know he's had some, I wouldn't say awful games, but he hasn't been shooting the ball well. And I know this game against Miami on Sunday, he played a little bit better. But Xavier, I think he shot 1 for 10. And his only make was a 3-point field goal. So he needs to shoot the ball better. But I think once things, you know, start get going, he'll be a lot better.
In this matchup, Aaron, against Xavier, what really stood out to you the most?
What works? Trace Jackson Davis, getting him the ball and working through him. I mean, every time they didn't double team him, he scored. And then when they did double team him, you're getting open looks. And then, like, kind of reiterating what Nicholas said, they're going to have to hit threes. And again, Miller Kopp was not thrilled. He had a big one in that Xavier game, but with how he shot in that game, he had a lot of open looks, and you're going to get a lot of open looks when teams are double-teaming Trace. Yes. Xavier Johnson driving to the hole, that works. They could not stop him. Now, obviously, at the end of that game, he makes some boneheaded moves that, I mean, he was trying to give the game away, but he is tough driving to the hole, so that obviously works. And then the one thing I was most impressed about, and I wanted to bring up on this podcast, I thought, is with all this depth that IU has, I use a lot of depth.
Yeah.
The one thing I was critical about last year with Mike Woodson is sticking with guys when it wasn't working. Miller Kopp being that one. I know that he was the experienced transfer, but it wasn't working. And I thought other guys should have gotten that time. You saw in the end there were 4 fouls. Malik Renew played over a 6-year senior in Race. Played the entire rest of the game. a freshman over a 6-year senior. So that just goes to show that was a big thing I wanted to see, that Mike, with this depth, you got to have a quick trigger. It doesn't matter how long you've been there. You got to have a quick trigger when you have all this depth. So like Nickel said, though, Renew, just his game just translates perfectly right away. Just offensive rebounds, a beast down in the paint. He's going to be a problem. Two of those fouls were technical fouls. So
yeah.
So he's got a lot of attitude. I think Hood Schifino, he's starting to realize a little bit that it's not high school. His game will eventually translate. I think
his shot is good, though.
He's got a good shot.
Yeah.
It's going to translate. It's just going to take more time because Renew, just the way he plays, just translates so easily to the college game. So he's been a beast. But like I said, and free throws, too, I think it's been a little better, but still something they're going to need to work on, too, because they missed all of them down the stretch. And against better teams, that's not going to get done. So we'll see. But
and that's again, the reason they didn't cover in that game is because
they
couldn't make free throws at the end of the game. But, no, it's a promising start for IU, and obviously it's not going to get any easier as we are approaching the biggest matchup of the season when you're going to take on North Carolina at Assembly Hall. They got a couple weaker non-conference opponents before that, but then you get to Big Ten play right after that as well. So we're going to get into the heart of Big Ten play here, and we're going to see really what this IU team is made of. But no complaints to start, 4-0, like you guys said. I agree, they got to shoot better from three, but we knew that coming into the season. Hopefully Miller Kopp gets more comfortable, keep getting Tamar Bates some looks. And Aaron, you talked about the depth of this Hoosier team, a guy that is not probably going to be talked about for the rest of the season that I think could be something is a Caleb Banks off the bench. Like, that just goes to show you how deep this team can be. Is he going to be a part of the rotation come to conference play? Probably not. But I do like their future outside of the core guys that they have right now, because they are going to lose a few pieces after this season. But I still think they're going to have to keep recruiting well, which they have been. Mike Woodson and his staff, I got to give them, some credit. They've done a good job so far. It's just, once Trace leaves, once Race leaves, once Miller Kopp leaves, once Xavier Johnson leaves, who steps up to be that guy? But time will tell with that. We can talk about the Hoosiers.
Yeah, that's way in the future. Let's think about this year so far.
Exactly. I mean, so we got those upcoming games, Little Rock, Jackson State on Friday. And then the big matchup, I believe, is next Friday, correct, against North Carolina?
No, next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Week from tomorrow. Yep.
Oh, I wish they didn't put it on the Wednesday. That means I got to stay up late, right? Isn't it a late tip?
It's 8:15, I think.
Oh,
yeah, we're getting old over here. That's late for us. Hey, just think, it's 9:15 in Bloomington.
I know. I was gonna say Eastern time. It's even worse.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. I will be at Assembly Hall this Friday against Jackson State. I'm looking forward to having some very good seats. I'll be front row, right behind the bench. So keep an eye out for me. There'll be 11:30 Central tip there at Assembly, but let's get on to other things here in college basketball, and we'll go specifically to the Gavitt games, which IU obviously was playing in one of them. But two of the most watched games that happened this past week were in Gavitt games history, that is, was IU versus Xavier and Nova versus MSU. The Nova game pulled about 600,000 people, and then IU 440,000. So impressive numbers right there. But let's talk about Nova and Michigan State specifically. I'll go to you first here, Aaron. Now, number 12, MSU, they weren't ranked, but they are now, defeated Villanova 73-71. The Spartans seem to be getting scoring from everywhere so far this season, especially against Villanova. They had four players reaching double-digit scoring. But what have you specifically noticed, Aaron, in this Spartans team that has led to their early success here, when this is probably a season that not a lot of people expected much from MSU?
Me, and I'm eating my words big time already. They might have the best guards in the country in Hogard and Walker. They might be the best guards in the country. And it's just every Izzo team is just tough. They're physical. And there are a lot of good teams in college basketball. One in particular in Gonzaga, who they, maybe if it wasn't on an aircraft carrier, they beat them. That teams just don't match up well against physicality. And again, if Izzo just seems to make something out of nothing. But again, his front court might be the best in college basketball with those guards. But against Nova, I mean, you knew you would see a little bit of a transition period. You lose Jay Wright. He was the best coach in college basketball. I don't think it was – I mean, you could debate
definitely
it,
the best of the past decade, I think.
Right. Oh, yeah. And so for sure, there's going to be a transition there. And I still think Villanova is going to be fine. But I thought in the back of my head that Michigan State might, when it's all said and done, when it gets into conference play, be the most prepared team going into conference. They just play big game after big game after big game. And you play Gonzaga, you play Kentucky, you play Villanova. They got another one, too. I think they play Kansas.
Alabama.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. So I'm just impressed. I mean, I think they're going to be right there. I had them finishing, I think, like fifth or sixth in the Big Ten, and I'm eating those words because they look tough. And the Big Ten in general is coming out tough. So
Big Ten has six teams in the top 25.
They've looked really good. But just impressed. I mean, I shouldn't have doubted Izzo when it came to this. So eat my words there.
Nickel, you got anything else you want to add about the Michigan State start to the season?
Yeah, I thought Michigan State would be top four in the Big Ten. I think I had them fourth. But, I mean, the great play from Joey Hauser so far, you know, he's been so-so the last few years. And so far this year, you know, he's been stepping up in those huge games, especially against that game against Kentucky. But, and then like Aaron, you said, the guards have been great. Tyson Walker, AJ Hogard. And then Sissoko down low, you know.
Yeah.
The big question was, who's going to be their big guy, like, down low? And Sissoko's, you know, he played, I think, only, like, 7 or 8 minutes a game last year, and he's been stepping up in that Kentucky game in overtime. He was huge. A lot of alley-oops, was getting down low over Shibue. It was fun to see. So, and then Villanova, they were actually down 10 at half in this game. Came back, only lost, you know, by a couple, so they have a little fight in them. Eric Dixon for Villanova, he's been the star so far. I just don't think they're, you know, as great as an offensive team in past Villanova teams. And, you know, they might, you know, flirt with the top 25 throughout the year, but I still think they're a tourney team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think both these teams will be seeing in the tournament. Just crazy how big of a jump Michigan State goes from unranked to number 12. It just shows you, when you schedule these tough non-conference opponents and you have results with it, it's going to pay dividends when your AP top 25 poll comes out. And that's why I like what Indiana did this offseason, or I should say in the past off seasons, and making sure that their non-conference had some tougher opponents like the North Carolinas, like the Xaviers, like the Kansas team. So that's, I mean, credit where credit is due. Michigan State is definitely balling out right now. So let's go from one Big Ten team to another here in Indiana specifically. Last Tuesday, the Boilermakers defeated Marquette 75-70 in what some people would call Las Vegas. We're going to call it West Lafayette because it's not Las Vegas. God. Zach Edey is picking up right where he left off, Nickel. He's scoring 20 points a game, grabbing 13 boards. But I think what a lot of Purdue fans would want me to bring up, and I'm going to, is the freshman Braden Smith. He seems like he could be that X factor and a go-to scoring option for the Boilermakers this season.
Yeah, he was actually, I think he was Indiana Mr. Basketball this past year. So, but he was, you know, in the recruiting rankings, he was like in the 200s. So yeah. Purdue was pretty good at getting these guys. And yeah, Braden Smith against, you know, Marquette, he looked like a senior. I mean, he was commanding, you know, he was driving to the rim, making shots. Yeah, he was pretty good. And then Zach Edey, you know, he's a beast down low. It's hard, you know, it's hard to guard him, and he's, you know, averaging just shy of 30 minutes a game. So I know last year he only averaged 19, but obviously he could play those minutes so far. So, you know, Purdue, I think, could be a top 25 team.
Yeah, and I think they're coming in at, what, number 24 in the most recent ranking. So,
yeah,
definitely a top team to keep an eye out for. I don't know if they're a contender by any means, but they're going to be competitive. Aaron, Zach Edey playing a little bit more minutes, like Nichols said, than we probably expected. Other than Edey, is there anything on that Purdue team that really has caught your eye in the first couple games?
I mean, just this is why I just couldn't count Purdue out when it came to when we did our Big Ten ranking, just because just a guy like Smith, just for example, a guy that was ranked in like the 200s that Matt Painter is already getting a lot out of. He's just a great coach, and they really are a good program. So
they are.
They will always hang around. And, you know, the big question was, can Edey take that big jump in minutes because there are no Travion Williams anymore? So clearly it's worked. So can he do it throughout the entire season? We'll find out. But I think that's going to be the big X factor there, because without him, they're going nowhere. So no. I think maybe he might be the most important player to a team in the Big Ten this year. You can argue Murray for Iowa, but
I think you could even say Trace for IU.
You probably could, but I just think I
Trace.
Yeah,
not as good.
True. Yeah, so, but you know they're winning games just like you would expect. At least I expected. I think so far we'll find out when they eventually get a real test. But good win for them against Marquette.
Yeah, and it's very, very early in the season. Yeah. These could be overreactions. We might look back at it and be like, wait, Purdue didn't make the tournament. What the hell were we talking about in episode two? Yeah. But time will tell. The Big Ten, like we said, is off to a tremendous start. Six teams now in the AP top 25. So, you know, we had to make sure we talked about those Gavi games. But let's talk about the Champions Classic here as well. We had Kansas versus Duke. This was a very good game. Kansas gets the win. 69-64 over the Blue Devils. And Jalen Wilson went off in this one, scoring 25 points, grabbing 11 boards. Duke only shooting 14% from three, though, could be a problem in the future, right, Nickel?
Yeah, that'd be a huge problem. I mean, I think this team is going to take some time to gel. A lot of freshmen, you know, they didn't have the energy in that Kansas Duke game. I mean, Kansas, I just felt like outplaying them. I know Duke took the lead in the second half, but Kansas finished it. And then also one guy I want to mention for Duke, though, Derek Lively. He was the number one recruit coming in this year. He's only averaging 4 points per game so far.
I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, he has been hurt, but he's played in every game.
Yeah, no, I know.
So, but I mean, Kansas too, like you said, Kyle, Jalen Wilson, he's been amazing. Their freshman, Grady Dick, he's been averaging 15 points a game, I think. So that's pretty good for a damn freshman for the wing. So, you know, Kansas, I think, was just the better team in this one.
Yeah, Aaron, you got anything you'd like to add from this?
Well, yeah, and no Bill Self either. I mean, they didn't have their head coach. Mm-hmm. So,
good point.
I just think when it comes to Duke, I mean, they're used to having a core of their team being top recruits. I mean, I'm pretty sure they got 1, 2, and 4 this year.
Yeah.
But I think this isn't Coach K, and it's not a knock on John Shire. I just think with John Shire, it's going to take a little bit longer than maybe it would with Coach K to get the production out of these freshmen and to get it gelling together. I mean, they're going to be there. I'm sure they're going to eventually figure it out.
Yeah, that the other two freshmen has actually played pretty well
so far. He's good. He is your prototypical big man that can do everything. So they'll figure it out. And I think Lively has been kind of hurt. And I think eventually, I mean, you're not the number one crew for no reason. So I'm sure he'll start to figure it out too. It's just going to take time. I mean, when you're chunky, your team is freshmen, it just takes time. And Kansas, even though they lost a lot of guys, they still bring back some experience. And just that Bill Self is impressive. I was impressed. So it's a good one.
Yeah, I was on the losing end of that one. I think I took the Duke Blue Devils. But I think I've noticed early with Duke, fuck you, is that they really don't have the go-to superstar, that pinpoint guy. I feel like Duke has always had just that one guy they can rely on, and I don't know if they have it.
He might be that guy. He could probably be that guy.
I said, it's going to take time to probably figure out what this team is. They have a lot of freshmen. Plus, you know, Jeremy Roach as the guard, you know, he's the guy that came back. He's a vet. He's averaging, I think, 13 points a game. So maybe he could be that guy down the stretch too. I mean, it's only been 5 games.
They'll be fine. They'll figure.
He's definitely, I would say, their leader of that team with the experience there. So
he's a junior now, I think.
Yeah, time will definitely tell too with the Duke Blue Devils, but a good win for Kansas there, and also in the Champions Classic. We've talked about Michigan State already, but let's talk about them again, and we can talk about the team they beat. Michigan State 86 win over Kentucky with 77 in double overtime. Kentucky also lost to Gonzaga this past Sunday, 88-72. So let's talk about that. The two top tier matchups here. Are you taking anything into account here, Aaron, or is
they always start slow? That they're, I feel like every year they play in one of these big ranked thing and always lose. Kentucky is a notoriously slow starting team that eventually starts to figure it out and gets hot for the tournament. Now they don't always win. Well, it's been a while since they won, but this is just typical. I mean, I feel like this is pretty typical. Now, I guess I'm a little surprised because I think this is one of the more experienced teams that Coach K has brought back.
Very experienced.
Yeah. They I mean, you obviously bring Shiwei back, Toppin.
Wheeler.
Yeah.
So, your point guard.
Right. So that might be the one surprise just because it's not all freshmen like he usually is. But I'm not incredibly concerned. I mean, they battled against Michigan State. And then Gonzaga, I think, was kind of due for a win. They kind of needed it a little bit more. So I'm not taking too much into it early on this year because I feel like they do this every year.
Nickel, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's with Kentucky, I feel like the last few years it's been the same. I know they were a 2 seed last year, so they did pick it up, but, you know, losing first round to St. Peter's, I don't know if this is going to be a similar team as that, but I watched most of that Gonzaga-Kentucky game on Sunday. They had, like, no energy. It looked like they didn't even care. I know, like, it was in Spokane. Gonzaga fans are crazy there, but it just wasn't showing. That's why I think Kentucky fans, as of right now, I want to say Coach Cal's on the hot seat, but he needs to pick it up a little bit because I think Kentucky fans are getting a little restless here.
Dude's overrated.
It's just not a good start because you're expected as Kentucky to win – those games. I mean, it's not like you're not expected to win those games, but I mean, I know Shiwei going out in that overtime loss in that game was huge for, you know, the Michigan State game. But still, I feel like you need to finish that game. I mean, Michigan State really turned it on down the stretch.
Yeah. I haven't really been impressed with Kentucky's start, but like Aaron said, it seems like this does happen.
They'll every be fine. Year. It's going to be a top 25 team. I just don't think
sure, they'll be fine. That's what I was going to say. I still don't know if they are.
I just don't think they are.
The elite of the elite. I don't see it yet. It could happen in the next couple games, maybe when we get the conference play, because they're not in an easy conference either. They're going to have some tough matchups in the SEC. Yeah. You got Arkansas. You got Tennessee. There's other teams out there.
Nickel. Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn.
Auburn's a top 15 team Alabama. Right now.
Yeah,
Alabama.
A lot of talent in that conference. So it's going to be a tough go for the Wildcats. I don't take, you know, this loss specifically, a lot of stake into it, but, you know, it's significant for Michigan State more than Kentucky because Michigan State gets a quality win in non-conference that could potentially help them down the road for seeding in the NCAA tournament. So,
yeah, for sure.
I think that's enough from the Champions Classic. So we're just going to keep moving on from one event to another, and we're going to go to the Continental Tire main event, where the third and fourth place game you had the Baylor Bears take on UCLA. Baylor comes out on top 80-75. UCLA loses both their games in this specific event. Is this another overhyped and overrated Bruins team? Guys, what do we think?
I think they need to get more out of their players besides Campbell. I mean, Campbell's been great. I think I just feel like he does way too much down the stretch. And then Amari Bailey, you know, their freshman, their top five recruit, he hasn't been playing well. So he really needs to pick it up. I don't think it's – I think it's just another similar UCLA team. I think it's going to be very similar than last year's team. I don't think they're going to really be any better. But I don't know. Like, Baylor's a good team, so.
Aaron's dog's got something to say.
Yeah, he's barking at something.
Your wife-to-be left, didn't she?
Yes, she did. He's probably barking something at us.
Maybe it's your crazy neighbor, Jacob Angel, rooting on the Purdue Boilermakers.
Probably is. It actually makes sense.
Does Purdue play tonight?
I don't know.
No, they don't play till Thursday.
Then why the hell in the group chat was he talking about Purdue and Fort Wayne?
Because you bet Purdue Fort Wayne.
Yeah, oh, Purdue school. Fort Wayne. Yeah. Oh, okay. That makes a little bit more sense. Aaron, anything to comment on with the Baylor Bears or the UCLA Bruins?
Well, I don't know if we'll allude to it or not because then, you know, Baylor lost to Virginia. It's so hard. I mean, when you got really good teams playing each other early on in the season, I feel like it's a tough area.
Tough to like,
yeah, it's good teams playing good teams early on. So I really don't take a whole lot of stock into it unless, you know, teams look really good. Like, for example, Virginia winning both those games against Illinois and Baylor convincingly. So I won't take a lot of stock. I think UCLA is still going to be there. I still think they win the Pac-12. I just don't take a whole lot of stock into these games early unless one team looks really, really good, which there have been a couple. But other than that, they'll be fine.
Well, Aaron, you brought up Virginia. Let's talk about that first and second place game. Virginia getting the win over Illinois, like you said, 70-61. Virginia is looking very good early, and former Hoosier Armon Franklin is probably a big reason why they are this good.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, they destroyed Baylor. I mean, absolutely destroyed them. And then, yeah, they beat Illinois. I mean, Tony Bennett, I mean, he's a great coach. But people forget Virginia won a national championship. Like, he – and now they've been kind of down. I mean, they've been ranked, but they haven't been that title contender, that ACC contender like they were for a few years. But, I mean, right now – I mean, I know it's really early, but right now they're the favorite to win the ACC. I mean, I'm not too impressed with North Carolina, and obviously I think Duke will figure it out. But they look really good.
That's all you have there in ACC.
Virginia, I mean, they look good. It looks like Tony Bennett's got it figured out over there, and they are going to be a problem in the ACC, that's for sure. And, I mean, this is one of those examples early on where it really catches my eye because, I mean, you beat two very good teams in Illinois and Baylor, and, you know, they were in control of both those games. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I clearly it's not a fluke, so.
Nickel, I'll let you speak on Virginia's success in a little bit. But, Aaron, I have a question for you. You said you weren't that impressed with North Carolina. What about the Tar Heels isn't clicking for you?
Well, see, and this is what people forget. Like, they were not great during the regular season last year. They you know, it's not like they were bad. But and then they get to the tournament, and they just got hot and played really well. And obviously they return everybody. But I know Nickel and I have talked about this not on this show, but they don't have a lot of depth and they play no defense. I mean, Charleston scored like 80 something points against them and almost beat them. Now North Carolina pulled away at the end, but they're playing these small schools and giving up a ton of points. And they, to me, just look like a team that I will call them overrated. I know we're not doing that today, but I think they are a team that is really holding on to that national championship hype that maybe not might be as good as we think they are. Not to say that they're not good, but do I think they're the number one team in the country? No. And I don't even think they're a top five team in the country, personally.
That's
a hot take, I know. I know. You have to give them, you have to put them there.
I don't know if it's that hot.
I think it is.
I will put him there because
they haven't played anybody yet.
I know, and we'll see what happens when they do, and maybe that will change a little bit of my opinion.
If they went into assembly and beat IU, I think that would be a very good quality.
Well, it would. It would.
Yeah,
but I also wouldn't be surprised if Indiana beats them.
No, I agree with you. I think this year's Indiana team, especially at assembly, like Nickel was saying, could beat anyone. Yeah. I believe that firmly.
I'll say more about North Carolina on our power rankings.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go back to Virginia because they deserve some more shine, Nickel. Like I said, Armon Franklin's been fantastic. They're a well-coached team. Do you think this is a team that we could be talking about come the Elite Eight, Final Four?
Yeah, I think that the big question going into this year was people were saying, well, how good is this Virginia team going to be? Because what people were saying is like, they're returning everybody. They're kind of like IU, you know, they're returning all their starters, but that Virginia team last year really couldn't shoot the ball. You know, Virginia team the last couple of years, not a great offense, great defense though. But right now they are the fifth best offense according to KenPom right now, which is massive. And that's actually pretty scary because their defense is also top five right now. So if they keep that up, you know, Virginia should be favorites to win the ACC because I mean, when you have that kind of offense coming from Virginia, that's scary. And big part of it too, Armon Franklin, like you said, Kyle, you know, against Baylor, I believe he scored 25 points, I want to say, and hit five threes. So they're shooting threes. That Virginia team could be scary.
Yeah. Could you imagine this IU team with Armon Franklin? How good they would be?
No, I forgot already.
Yeah. And then Illinois too. I think Illinois is going to be fine. You know, that's a team that had a lot of new pieces come in. And I think once they gel together towards Big Ten play, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
We shouldn't be giving Illinois any credit. If you look on Twitter, Illinois fans just despise. Oh, my God, they're
the worst.
What do they have against Indiana? Are they trying to bring back an old rivalry?
They despise against everyone.
It's Eric Gordon.
They're most like one of the most annoying college basketball fans on Twitter.
If you're an Illinois basketball fan, fuck you. Don't listen to this podcast.
It's bad.
But subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. We would greatly appreciate that as well. So anything else from the Continental main event thingamajig, or are we good to move on?
Good to move on.
So let's move on to what is upcoming this week, Feast Week. It is Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. And the Maui Classic is going on right now as we speak. Winners from yesterday. Thank you, Nickel, for adding this to our outline. We're Arizona, Arkansas, Creighton, San Diego State. Who do we like coming out of the Maui Classic this year, Nickel? I'll go to you first.
Man, I had a tough time choosing this. I like Creighton right now, but I think Arizona is maybe the team to beat. Their offense right now has been amazing. Ballo down low and Tabilis, they've been great. You know, they're both averaging close to 20 points a game. So yeah, I think they're 1'7", one's like 6'11", and they're the top two scorers. So that's going to be hard to beat. So, but you know, Arkansas is playing well, even without Nick Smith. Creighton's been playing amazing, but I like Arkansas coming out of the Maui.
I thought it was Arizona.
I mean, sorry, Arizona. Sorry.
Yeah. Arizona, Arkansas, Creighton, and San Diego State. Aaron, who do you like?
I like Creighton. And I watched, I mean, I took them tonight against Arkansas, fingers crossed, but, I watched that whole Texas Tech game, and Texas Tech plays insane defense. Now, Creighton plays really good defense, too. Creighton had 15 turnovers in the first half, and that game was tied. That just goes to show how good this Creighton team can defend and score on offense. The Shireman, the transfer, he was shooting NBA threes left and right and just nailing them. And then, you know, once Creighton decided not to turn the ball over in the second half, they won by double digits. That's a team. I mean, it's only one game that I watched, but they can defend. You got 7-footer down low. They are big. They are a big team. And then you got Nembhard coming back at point guard, who is crafty. It always impresses me when a team looks that bad and is still tied or winning a ball game. It just goes to show just how talented they are to where they can make that many mistakes and not be out of the game. So I think they beat Arkansas tonight. I know people, you know, I know Arkansas plays great defense, but so, I mean, Texas Tech was bullying Creighton, and Creighton still found a way to win by double digits. So, I just like their all around game. So, I'm going to hopefully they win tonight and then probably play Arizona, I would assume. I mean, San Diego State's really good too, but
yeah,
we'll see. I like the Jays.
A few of those teams that are in this Maui Classic have some pretty interesting long shot national championship odds. You look at the Creighton Blue Jays, they're plus 2,500 right now. Arizona's also plus 2,500. You have San Diego State, who's plus 5,000. So if you're placing any bets for a futures, maybe one of these dark horses, is there a certain team in this in Maui that you would bet on?
Creighton.
Yeah.
And, you know, Arkansas is there too. Once they get, I mean, Nick Smith Jr., a lot of people think he might be the number one pick in the draft, and he hasn't played a single game.
Hasn't even played yet.
For reference, a $20 bet on Creighton to win the national championship right now would pay out $520.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, they're good. I think you just need more time to see how these teams unfold. But I don't know his name. Is it Lloyd? Is that Arizona's coach, the Gonzaga assistant?
Yeah, Tommy Lloyd.
Tommy Lloyd. If they're good again, man, he might be the next up-and-coming big-time coach because, I mean
– NBA?
See – It's harder than you think for these guys to leave jobs like that to go to the NBA, because the NBA is just a total 180.
Brad Stevens did it.
Yeah, and he had to go be a general manager because he couldn't figure it out as a coach. So it's hard. It's hard because it's a totally different game, and you're dealing with guys that make way much more money than you do.
It's kids versus men.
So that's tough. But no, he's been impressive, but. Go Jays. I think they started at 6. Maybe not.
No, 7.
Oh, shoot.
All yeah. Right.
So we'll be able
coming to up here soon.
Watch that game after we record. We are recording this on a Tuesday night live. And if you want to tune in live and you're listening to this at a later date, just make sure you're following us on Twitter. Like I said, at March2_Madness. We will give updates on when we decide to go live for these podcasts. Other games coming up this week. Thanksgiving night, actually, we have college basketball action. Yeah, at 8:30, we have number 18 Alabama taking on number 12 Michigan State, part of the Phil Knight Invitational. We got a neutral site for this one, Aaron. and another big test for Sparty. Who do you like, Alabama or Michigan State?
MSU. I'll take the team that's been tested, and no other team in the country has been tested more than them. They will be physical with Alabama. I'm assuming this is another – I mean, I don't know for sure, so maybe Nickel or you, Kyle, you will know more. Is this the typical Alabama, we're going to chuck up on offense?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay, well
– I think it's going to be a lot different.
Even then, I will always – I'm curious what this line will be. I will always take the Tested team. I think Michigan State will be physical. They played against top teams already. Arguably, you could say Alabama is the worst of the top teams that they've played already. So I just think they'll be tested. They'll be ready to go. Bama hasn't played anybody competitive. So I like MSU. I'm curious what that line is, though.
I don't see any early lines out
right now. I'm assuming it would be – I mean, it's probably not going to be a lot. It might be 4 or 5 points in favor of MSU maybe.
I know we're all going to be probably watching NFL football, but there is a solid slate of college basketball action on Thanksgiving. But, Nicole, specifically in this matchup, Alabama, Michigan State, who are you taking?
Yeah, I think I like Michigan State also just because what Aaron said, you know, they already been battle tested, but you know, Alabama is a team too that they haven't played anybody, but I think they could be pretty damn good this year. I mean, freshman Brandon Miller, he's a 5-star. He's averaging 20 points a game already.
Good.
And then their transfer from Ohio, Mark Sears, he's their second leading scorer. So they weren't on this team last year. So I think it's a completely different team. They could defend a little bit better. Their offense is still there. You know, Brandon Miller is shooting 43% from three. So, you know, I know last year's team was hit and miss from three, but they've been hitting the three so far. I know it's not been against great competition, but I'm really interested to see how they play against Michigan State.
Yeah, I'm not going to be boring and agree with you guys. I'll just take Alabama just to be different. I don't firmly believe it, but I am glad we are getting other sports on Thanksgiving because I will not be doing much Thanksgiving evening. Speaking of Thanksgiving, Aaron, what's your favorite side main dish for Thanksgiving?
Stuffing, especially if it's cooked properly.
It's got to be homemade. It can't be bullshit out of a package.
No, of course. Properly. That's one of those you only eat on Thanksgiving things, and it's
unless you're Jacob Angel who has hot dogs with stuffing.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
If you eat the stuffing that's like some stuff inside the turkey where you get the juices and everything, that's where the money's at. Nickel, what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
A stuffing if it's a made right, like Aaron said, but I think I just like mashed potatoes and gravy as my one main side.
I think the best part about Thanksgiving is leftovers because you can just make a bomb-ass sandwich the next day. Just put everything together, toast up that bread, and you're set. But if there's this one side I can get rid of forever, it's the cranberry sauce because who the fuck likes cranberry sauce?
Yeah, I don't. I don't
either. It's pointless. Do you eat the sweet potatoes if you have them?
Oh, my God. I had some yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, I love sweet potatoes.
Sweet potato fries are elite. I think totally tangent here. We're talking about college basketball. We can talk about fries for a little bit. If Chick-fil-A made sweet potato waffle fries, be God tier. That'd be next level. They need to do that. Now I'm just hungry. I haven't ate dinner yet.
No, I haven't either. So,
also on Thanksgiving, we'll wrap it up here shortly. We got number 24 Purdue taking on the 4-0 West Virginia Mountaineers. Winner will play Georgia or Portland State. So most likely.
No, not Georgia. Oh, sorry.
Gonzaga. Or Portland State, so most likely Gonzaga for Purdue versus West Virginia. West Virginia is not ranked, still haven't lost a game this year. Nickel, who do you like?
The problem with West Virginia, they have no size, so it's going to be hard to guard Edie down low. West Virginia has been shooting the ball well lately. I know they really haven't played. I mean, they played some decent teams, but nothing crazy. But I don't think they're going to be able to guard Edie, and I think Edie's going to put up another 20-plus games. So I like Purdue in a close one.
Edie gonna be eaten, I guess you could say.
Yes.
Aaron.
Yeah, same thing Nickel said. I really want to see Purdue play Gonzaga because I think that would just be funny.
West Virginia is my pick because I'm going to be different again.
Oh, my God.
Because nobody likes a clean
sweep. And if it is Purdue Gonzaga, that would be on Friday. So.
Okay, that'd be fun.
Uh-oh.
Nickel, I know you wanted to talk about one thing before we get to the power rankings. You want to bring up Nickel's quick note here for episode 2?
Yeah, so two teams, you know, like we mentioned before, that the Big Ten's actually been playing pretty well. They have six teams now ranked. But two of those teams, Iowa and Maryland, you know, Chris Murray from Iowa has he's definitely taken over his, you know, Keegan Murray's minutes and points. He's been awesome. And this offense is, you know, the offenses of the past of Iowa team. So I think this Iowa team could be very, very similar to last year's team. I think they could be around that, you know, fifth seed in a tournament, maybe potentially, you know, be in the top tier of the Big Ten. And then Aaron, props to you. This Maryland team, that was your sleeper. You know, Scott for Maryland has been amazing, and they just killed St. Louis and Miami. That's two solid teams. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up because that is two teams to watch out for in the Big Ten.
I think Iowa was my sleeper and Maryland was Aaron's, correct?
Maryland was.
There you go.
Look at us.
Two good sleepers.
We kind of know what we're talking about. So as we end most of our episodes, we're going to power rank from 5 to 1. We're not going to bounce off each other here. We'll just go one at a time. Aaron, I'll let you go first. Go from 5 to 1. What are your power rankings looking like? Let's be known, it is early, so these obviously are going to change.
It is, and I go off of what I've seen so far. So
I like it.
At number 5, I'm putting North Carolina, just because, as I reiterated already, I think that they not defensively have struggled against small schools, which they shouldn't. I mean, Charleston, like I said, almost beat them, and UNC pulled away at the end. They got a solid starting five, but they play no defense and have no depth. And so I think once they eventually get tested, they are going to lose. So we'll find out when and where that is, but just haven't been very impressed with their start. I'm all in on that. I think it's going to happen.
They play in a tournament this week too, in a decent sized tournament. So maybe they'll lose one of those games.
They might.
Do you think IU is a favorite in that game?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Just kidding. Ooh. If North Carolina comes in at number one, you think if they're still number one, you think they're the favorite?
Well, I guess it depends because, like I said, they do play a 3-game tournament this week.
I know.
Phil Knight Invitational. So if they go undefeated, probably not. But I like what you're saying right now, I totally agree with. So I don't think they're going to win that tournament. And I think going into Bloomington, if how IU is still playing this well, they are not going to be favored.
Do you know top of the head who they play in that tournament?
Oh, God. I think Duke's in that tournament, maybe. Maybe Duke's not. I don't know. I got to look it up. Hold on. Because that is actually a good question.
Curious.
Continue.
I'm curious. But anyway, at number 4, I have Kansas. Good win against Duke, obviously. Have had no Bill Self for the start of their season, so that's obviously been pretty impressive. I think they'll be there. I think they'll be good, but I think there are 3 teams that have been more impressive than them. Number 3, I have Houston, who I know have not played really anybody, but they are a national title contender.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be a real problem. They defend. They can score. They're demolishing everybody. I know they're not big schools, but again, they, in my opinion, are a top 3 or 4 team to win the national championship.
Sure.
So, they are a problem. Number 2, I'm putting Virginia because, I mean, you dominate a Baylor team. You, for the most part, dominate an Illinois team. Who's looked better than them? Well, there is one team I think that's looked better than them, but I'm giving credit where credit is due. You beat 2 very, very good teams at a neutral site convincingly. So, in my opinion, you're the number 2 team. Number 1, and this might be a little bit of a shocker, but hook 'em. Texas.
Let's go! Yeah, Texas. Brother!
I mean, again, they're dominating everybody, and they dominated Gonzaga. Dominated them from start to finish.
Yep.
Every one of their games, they are dominating whoever they play, and it has not even been close. And, you know, again, am I huge on this Gonzaga team? No, but they're incredibly talented. They had been battle-tested. Texas had not been battle-tested. And I know it was at Texas, but Texas just destroyed them. And they have looked phenomenal to start the year. So right now, I got them in the power number 1 spot.
I'll make this quick. You guys know a little bit more about other teams than I do. I kind of just focus in on IU basketball. I got Virginia at number 5 for reasons that we spoke of earlier. They have really impressed me so far this season. Number 4, Kansas, defending national champions. You know, there's no reason to drop them any further. Texas at number 3 for reasons Aaron said. There is a big reason why I had this team winning the conference, and you are seeing why here early on in 2022. Houston at number 2 and UNC at number 1. I know that's chalk, but until they lose, I'm not going to change things. And that's how it's going to be, and that's how it is. We do have a comment from my mother. Hello. She is waving to all of us. So hello to my mother, Donna. Nice to see you in the chat. Nickel, your power rankings.
Yeah, going back to Aaron's question. So North Carolina plays Portland, and then they play the winner of Villanova and Iowa State. And then on the other side of the bracket, you have UConn, Oregon, Alabama, Michigan State.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nova.
So that Michigan State, Alabama game's in this tournament, yeah.
Yeah, Nova might be able to beat them, and Bama and Michigan State, surely. So, oh, man. Yeah. They're not coming out of that tournament undefeated. That's just not happening.
Says you.
Well, true.
That's what I think. I really don't think they're going to be undefeated when they go into Bloomington. And speaking of UNC, that's my number five team also.
Aaron, I thought he was going to say, speaking of Bloomington, and go IU. No. I was like, let's go, finally.
Up the brakes. No.
No, if we ever put them in this top five, I'm scared.
Don't say that. This could be the year.
Is this the year that one of us puts Indiana in the top five?
If anybody's going to do it, it's right here. IUBB guy.
Are you kidding me? If they go undefeated and beat UNC, Kyle has them at one.
If we beat UNC, they should be in the top five. UNC is the number one team.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe? I know what other teams do. That's a valid point. The number one team, you should be in the top five.
One according to AP people.
Well, I'm not going to talk about if they lose because that ain't going to happen. Right. We're speaking of hypotheticals here.
Okay, whatever.
Five I have UNC, pretty much all the reasons this Aaron just said. Their bench and defense just concern me, and I just really haven't been impressed so far, but we'll see what they do in this tournament coming up here. Four, I have Kansas. Convincing winning against Duke, Jalen Wilson, Grady Dick, they've been amazing, undefeated, so I really like them as a top five team right now. Number three, Virginia. Mentioned this earlier, but if this offense keeps it up, they're a dangerous team, and I think potentially, going into ACC play, they could still be a top five team. Number two, Texas. This team is full of talent. Marcus Carr, Tyrese Hunter, they've been amazing at the guard spots this year. And like Aaron said, Gonzaga went into their newly built arena, got demolished by them. So really like Texas this year. And then number one, I have Houston. This team just really impresses me. I mean, Marcus Sasser being back from them is huge. He's been amazing so far. They actually went into Oregon on Sunday night, beat the Ducks. I watched most of this game. Their defense is probably the best defense, too, in the country. So I really like this team. They also have a five-star freshman and Jairus Walker that's been putting up over 10 points per game. So Houston's tough. It's going to be – I don't know who's going to beat them in non-conference. So,
yeah, fair
or
point.
Or in conference, too.
I mean, I was going to say in conference they seem
– because I don't think – I mean, Memphis is not as good as they were last year, I don't think. Houston's tough.
It just feels good to be back and talk about college basketball. Before you know we're going to be getting into conference play here in a couple weeks. So these are exciting times for us. We've been doing this for five seasons now, and I don't think we plan on stopping because why not? It doesn't matter who's listening. We're talking about college hoops, and that's what makes us happy. But, Aaron, any final remarks as we sign off here for episode number two?
More good college basketball. We'll see what happens. Really looking forward to that Indiana-North Carolina game. Really am.
Give me a final score.
Oh, man. So I think they're going to lose. North Carolina will lose in that tournament. Give me the Hoosiers. Since North Carolina plays no defense, give me the Hoosiers 78-71.
Aaron really dug deep for that
one. Yeah, I had to think for a second there, but I
went deep in there.
Isn't that not the perfect matchup for IU in terms of a team that plays no defense? So their offense, which sometimes can be stagnant, should have no problem. They have no depth. So
that Baycott Trace matchup is going to be exciting.
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
Indiana's defense, though, a little bit of a tangent. I mean, didn't look great against Xavier. I'm curious if maybe these guys don't have if you're sacrificing some of that intensity for more offensive ability. I don't know.
I think it's because it was a first, test on the road.
Yeah.
First test of the season, first test on the road. Yeah, they didn't look good at times, but I think KenPom still has them as a top 15 defense.
Oh, okay.
And I believe right now too, they are a top 20 offense.
Suck it, Aaron, you idiot.
I know it's been three games, but UNC coming to Bloomington, I really like the Hoosiers in that one, and I don't know if we'll have an episode before that. So, but
we won't have one before, but probably after, so we can recap that game against North Carolina. Mr. Corndog, thanks for checking in. He says, "Let's go Hoosiers!" In the midst of all that other gibberish he's got there in the comment section. Appreciate you checking us out live here. But if you wanna, if you're listening to us, I should say, on a replay or on audio form, make sure you're following us at March2_Madness and give us a subscribe here on the OTSN YouTube channel. This is where we are going to be posting all of our content. And I think that's all we got for them here this week, fellas. So we will talk to you next time as our March 2 Madness continues.